Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. This is episode 268. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and we're back after 1 week hiatus? 2 week hiatus? Who knows? I don't know anymore. Time is meaningless. The world's on fire. We're all just, it's not a great time. And to reflect that, there's not really a whole lot of great gaming news this week. You know, I managed to get some things out of there, but like looking back over the past, it's like not a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Outside of, you know, there was a Nintendo partner showcase, Direct Mini partner showcase. So that'll be our deep dive. But outside of that, man, I really had to dig deep for some news. But that kind of works out, because typically when we have a director or something, you know, or E3 or anything big like that, it kind of takes over the show. So that's fine. You know, that gives me more time to talk about the games that popped up during the direct. I hope everybody's doing well. Sorry. It's just one of those. I got back from vacation. I am exhausted. I'm like just as tired as I was before I went on vacation. It's one of those things, you know, just dealing with, like back pain and stuff, but also wondering like, you know, is this caused by something else or is this just muscular stuff? And it's exhausting. And there are times when it's difficult to try and focus on what's going on. But that said, as I did find some juicy tidbits of info to relay that probably have gotten buried under some of the announcements this past week. And then some info from the direct. That said, why don't we just get right into it? We'll get the two pieces of news that I have out of the way. All right, first piece of news. Activision Blizzard, specifically Blizzard Entertainment in this case, has acquired their first studio in 15 years. They have acquired Boston-based Proletariat, who are the makers of Spellbreak. This was like 3 years ago or so. They made a high fantasy style battle royale called Spellbreak. And the idea being like it was going to be a high fantasy alternative to Fortnite. Didn't have the crafting mechanics in it, but the idea was like casting spells and using class abilities sort of a thing. Turns out not very popular, not sustainable. So that's, basically Spellbreak's done, early 2023. They're just going to be done. Servers are shutting down. And the whole studio is just going to be folded into the World of Warcraft team to work on Dragonflight. Good luck to them. I don't have any advice aside from unionize if you're going to be going to work on the World of Warcraft expansion. So that was, you know, and especially since, like, I don't know how that works. If they're still going to be like, if they're going to force everybody to move to Irvine, or if they're just going to keep them all in Boston, I don't know. And like have them work remotely. Cause like, at this time, like I feel like Vicarious Visions, which was acquired by Activision Blizzard, like is still, I'm pretty sure based in Albany. But yeah, it's weird. And then even weirder, Skull and Bones. Remember this game, folks? That was what, E3 2017, I think, was when it was shown. After almost 10 years in development, this game might have a release date. There was some sort of leak. Possibly November is what is being slated currently. However, there's nothing to suggest that it won't get pushed back again, which has happened the past couple of times. It's happened like 5 times now, where like they've publicly set a release date and then they were like, oh no, like, and then coupled with the fact that there hasn't been any gameplay footage recently whatsoever. So for those who don't know, Skull and Bones, this was like originally sort of like a mod that was being done with Assassin's Creed Black Flag because everybody loved the pirate stuff. And so they were like, oh, what if we just built this out as a separate game? And then the suspicion is that management got involved, and then all of a sudden, like, it just ballooned into this sort of nightmarish project that nobody really understands, like, what the game should be. So it went from, like, basically Black Flag, but without the Assassin's Creed stuff, to a always online multiplayer PvP, like 5v5 pirate game, to something else. Like, it's pivoted direction like 3 or 4 times now. And like, I feel like there's been a point in which it was like completely scrapped and redone. And it's like horrendously over budget at this point. So this is more of like, this is kind of almost like Last Guardian-esque. Except there is no indication that it will be any good. And I hate saying that. I was so excited for when this was first announced. And then it's at this point it's like a joke. It's more of just like, oh. Or like you know, when they announced that, what was it, Duke Nukem 3D or something was finally gonna get finished or something like that. Something ridiculous like that. This is going to be one of these stories is if and when it finally comes out. And I really just hope that all this time has been maybe just going back to basics. But who knows? There's a lot of fears that Ubisoft is gonna try and shoehorn their NFT stuff into the game. So we'll have to see. But yeah. We might see it in November. I'm not holding my breath, but who knows? Who knows? And that's it. That's the quick fire news that I got for this week. You know, I mean, it's not really falls under news, but you know, I finished Obi-Wan finally. I have not started Ms. Marvel. I haven't watched Stranger Things. It's just, it's been just between still trying to get 100% better, along with like the slew of birthdays and vacations and all that stuff. And now like work's picking back up and I have people on vacation at work, so like now I'm having to cover for them. It's become very difficult to actually get time in to just watch things. So yeah. But rest assured, when Thor comes out, we'll definitely be covering that. Because that's coming out soon. So, all right. So we got through that pretty quick fire news. So let's head on into our deep dive where we'll be talking about this week's Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase. All right, so unfortunately, I don't have different slides for every single game that came out. I did not have time to get that done. There's quite a few. Since we got time, normally, like, I'll try and just run through them all really quickly and then come back. There's breathing room, so I'll just talk about them as I go. So we started things off with Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. That is available now for folks that are watching live. It came out today. So definitely excited for it. They just talked a little bit more about the story. Capcom has been doing a whole bunch of their own presentations on it. And so they showed off like some of the new monsters, and like some of the new, Switch skills, and just, you know, more of the gameplay, and like bringing NPCs along as party members that I'm excited for. Cause like oftentimes, you know, I don't necessarily have a problem downing a monster myself. It takes longer. You know, often as a bow user, if you're the target, you often have to spend a lot of time dodging out of the way and not being able to set up your shots. So just like having NPCs there to draw away, monster attention and monster aggro. Cool for me. So I picked this up. This is my plan for the near future. And they also gave a roadmap for stuff. So, you know, Monster Hunter is sort of turned into like this, you purchase the game, but then there's also a little bit of games as a service where there's free updates in the future. So they provided a roadmap for that all the way out through 2023. I think it's fine. I feel like there's enough stuff included in Monster Hunter. And I also, I don't know, folks seem to have this idea of they want everything now. And like they want to sink like 120 hours into a game. Of just like the thought of then like releasing more content in the future. I don't have a problem with it, you know, like from a Monster Hunter perspective. Like I thought there was enough, like I thought Rise was a little bit light on content, but I also felt like it was a decent enough play time for the base game. And then you would get, you know, the event quests and the new monsters and stuff rolled out. I didn't have a problem with it personally, you know, and it's, you know, World went with the same method. I think I would rather have the route they're going now where it's like expansions rather than, you know, waiting like 2-3 years for them to then just put everything into like, you know, essentially doing the Pokemon route of where it used to be, you know, you would have your base version, and then, like, you know, a year or two later, you would get, like, the definitive edition, which is just the same game, but they tacked on a bunch of extra features that they probably could have just put in the original game. You know, and that's what you get with, we saw that in the past with Monster Hunter. So, you know, I'm kind of more okay with just the expansion model. And that, you know, and free updates. You know, I have no problem with free updates. But, you know, those games also feel complete to me. So again, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, it is an expansion to Monster Hunter Rise. So you do need to have Monster Hunter Rise. But I think, like, they have bundles available to buy both. Is available now. Next up. Coming in 2023, also from Capcom, the Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection. So I've seen this people have been asking for this and for in like a virtual console, GBA online sort of thing. So they'll be happy for this. And I would say that, stuff like this is kind of why you don't get a lot of stuff, a lot of third-party stuff in things like NES Online, Super NES Online, and 64 Online, is that folks that have a big collection of things, namely Capcom's the big one, but I think Konami does a little bit too, with like the Castlevania stuff. They put out their own collections, or Sega, Sega will do it with Sonic, put out a big Sonic collection type thing. Square, although Square does like the piecemeal stuff, because they want you to spend, a premium for old Final Fantasy games. But yeah. So, I mean, they look pretty good. The sprite work still looks pretty good. I never played the Mega Man Battle Network games. I was never really a Mega Man fan growing up, and it was more kind of just like discovering the music much later on of Mega Man 2, and then being like, oh yeah, like it's got really great music. And I'm just like, after playing through Mega Man 2, I still don't know if I'm a big Mega Man fan and more of just like interested in the lore and like the idea of Mega Man and the music than the actual gameplay. So yeah. Next up, Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope. So this is sort of the sequel to Mario and Rabbids. Great game. This is coming October 20th. Namely, one of the big changes that they're doing. So it's still sort of party-based XCOM style tactical combat. The difference being now is essentially you can do all of your movement before you attack with a weapon. And now you can freely move about. So it's no longer limited by like, moving squares on a grid, sort of like you do for D&D or something. You can now just move in whatever directions and just run around willy-nilly before you set yourself up. So that is that's pretty interesting. Yeah, this would be a game that I pick up. The Rabbids are a little off-putting for me, but I mean the gameplay was really, really neat for the first one. So I'm excited to see what they bring with this one. Next up from Square Enix, November 4th, we're getting Harvestella. So this is essentially a farming slash RPG sim, farming sim slash dungeon crawling RPG. Not a whole lot more information besides that. It seems a little similar to Rune Factory, I guess, in that like, you're setting up a farm, you go fishing, you help out the town. But also then like you go into dungeons to collect like monster materials. I will be watching this one closely because Rune Factory 5 did not review well. None of the recent Story of Seasons or Harvest Moon games have reviewed very well. And it's a genre that I really like. And the fact that, they're adding sort of dungeon mechanics on it also makes me wonder if it's going to have sort of the staple Final Fantasy-esque monsters in it because it's Square Enix, or if it's just going to be like completely new stuff. So yeah. Surprise announcement coming up next, October 21st, Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Golden, Persona 5 Royal are coming to Nintendo Switch. This is wild. This is, if you said a few years ago, I mean, if you said at the Switch launch that they were going to get Persona, that would have been mind-blowing. And then, of course, we got Joker in Smash, and so now this is a thing. So yeah, Persona games sort of have a little bit, if you are a big fan of Fire Emblem Three Houses, Persona kind of has that feel, except instead of the sort of tactical RPG combat, is you have just more of a traditional like turn-based RPG combat. But yeah, it has a lot of similar stuff of like doing sort of outside activities and like like working your day job or working your side job or whatever, or like studying for exams or hanging out with friends, like all do different things. To the point that I think perhaps certain tabletop RPGs could take a lesson from that on how to do social stuff a lot better. But yeah, I would encourage, if you're a Fire Emblem three, specifically Three Houses fan, and you really liked the sort of, doing like the social activities, contrasted with the RPG mechanics, this is definitely something to take a look at. Available now, switching gears a little bit, the Portal Companion Collection is available now. It's Portal. It's I think it's Portal 1 and 2. Let's see. October 6th, Nier Automata, the end of Yorha edition. So Nier Automata is, I think, another one that everybody was sort of like, oh, that's really weird. Okay, coming to Nintendo Switch? Sure. Didn't think we'd ever see that on a Nintendo platform. These games are highly regarded. And this one, I believe, will have, it's almost like a port of the definitive edition, that was on PlayStation, I believe. And will also feature some, Nintendo exclusive little costumes and stuff. Sometime this year, we are getting Return to Monkey Island. I have never played any Monkey Island games. It feels like a travesty to me. This looked great. It visually stunning, this game. Really great art direction. And it's got pirates. So, there you go. Sometime next year, 2023, Super Bomberman R2. I did have Super Bomberman R at launch. It was one of the few Switch games that was available at launch. I got it for the novelty of like, oh, Bomber, like I remember Bomberman. And then, Bomberman's really only good in multiplayer. And so this game, like, they seek to sort of emphasize that a bit more. If you are a fan of Bomberman and sort of, puzzle arcade, PvP style stuff, this may be your jam. So again, 2023 on that. Live Alive, coming out sometime this year. Looking forward to it. But there is a demo available now that has three of the scenarios. It has Edo, Japan, Imperial China, and the Far Future. So you can play through those, and then your progress will carry over when the game launches. I love that, like, especially Square's doing this with a bunch of, like, they did this for Bravely Default 2. They did this for Octopath Traveler. They did it for Triangle Strategy. Again, all these wonderful, terrible names. At least this one, like, they came up with way back in the SNES era. Yeah, demo available for that now. Sonic Frontiers, we saw a little bit more of gameplay. Sort of doesn't look as bad as previous gameplay footage was shown. And almost like it gives me a lot of Sonic Adventure type feels. Sort of mixed with like a little bit of Dragon Ball-esque fight mechanics, where they show like Sonic doing combos and stuff, but he's doing it like in mid-air, and because he's like zapping around and like doing his mid-air spin dash thing, gives the illusion of like him flying around and just like punch, you know, sort of like that you see in Dragon Ball Z fight sequences. So yeah, no release date given on that one. I think it's still pretty much in development. But yeah, so who knows? Maybe it won't be as weird as people were saying it would be. Up next in 2023, Minecraft Legends. So this is more. So we got Minecraft Dungeons, which was sort of a dungeon crawler, and this seems to be more of like an overworld, sort of freeform action RPG type thing, where like you recruit all little critters and minions to go into battle with you to fight off invading forces. So who knows? Up next, we have Blanc for February 2023. This is a solo or co-op style adventure. Very beautiful game. Very lovingly illustrated. And it's sort of the story of a fawn and a wolf cub. A wolf pup, if you will. Just trying to survive and becoming fast friends in order to survive through the winter. And so a lot of sort of like platform puzzles. This will be a thing that I pick up. It's so pretty. It is just so pretty. September 6th, we are getting early access for Disney Dreamlight Valley. This kind of feels like Disney trying to capitalize on like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley. And you know, like Story of Seasons type games where, but instead of like doing a farming sim type thing, it's just you sort of live in Toontown, I guess, with all of the Disney characters, and you have to go around and help them restore their memories and rebuild the town. I'm sure that'll appeal to some people. I don't know. It kind of feels like it's trying to capture the essence of sort of the farm sim genre, but without doing a lot of the stuff that people really like about the farm sim genre. So who knows, or, you know, just the Animal Crossing style of village building. And the early access, I don't know what that means. I really don't know, if it's paying to play test, essentially. I don't know. December 9th, Dragon Quest Treasures, so a Dragon Quest spinoff game in which it's a little bit of like Dragon Warrior Monsters, where like it's sort of a Pokemon-esque Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior game, where you are recruiting teams of monsters to help you go find treasure and upgrade like your ship and your base and stuff that allow that, you know, essentially a gameplay loop of get monsters, go find treasure, come back, upgrade your stuff to then recruit more and or better monsters and go on better missions to find better treasure to upgrade your stuff to get better. Which I am a sucker for that gameplay loop. And you know, it's Dragon Quest. Like it's a shame that I haven't actually played any recent Dragon Quest games because I was a big fan of Dragon Warrior. And you know, I love that art style. And so this might be a good entry for me to jump into. Cause it's also, you know, doing monster combat and like supporting your monsters. So it's like if Pokemon were to go the route of that, in addition to having Pokemon, that you are also sort of an RPG character and go in and like fight other monsters with your Pokemon. But also your dungeon, like not necessarily dungeon crawling, but like you are treasure hunting. So that seems a little, up my alley there. We got Little Noah, Scion of Paradise, another Monster Collection game. This one is like a combo platformer, and the idea being like you use monsters in certain orders to like chain your attacks and moves to progress through levels. Also very, very visually appealing. And I think this is an indie game, unless, hang on, let's see who's the developer on this. The developer is Cygames Incorporated. Which I don't know what else they've made. But yeah. It's also available on other platforms, so. RPG Time, The Legend of Wright, coming out August 18th. This one is sort of like a roguelike RPG where it all takes place in a notebook. So very, very interesting visual art style. And outside of that, like, there wasn't really a whole lot of it's. Like, so they said, you know, aspiring game designer. So I don't know if like that's talking about the developer or if that's talking about the person in the game whose notebook you're playing in. And like, it's all based on like doodles and stuff. And so you might need to like use an eraser to like erase certain puzzle elements or draw other ones in. So we'll see. I don't know if it's going to be like full on Scribblenauts where it gives you full control over what you can do, or if it's just looking for like specific prompts. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes in 2023. Doraemon Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom in 2020, sometime this year. I'm not familiar at all with Doraemon. But it's a Story of Seasons game. So you're basically going to get that Harvest Moon gameplay loop. This one does have co-op gameplay available for farming and fishing and doing all that good stuff. Pac-Man World Repack. So this is a remake, not sure, of Pac-Man World. So Pac-Man platformer. Personally, not my thing, but I know there's an audience for that that were really big on the Pac-Man platforming games. You know, and it has a certain charm where, you know, Namco decided to also put like other, you know, elements of their other games. So there's like a Starship level, which is basically Galaga, you know, and other stuff like that. Railgrade, which is, you know, sort of in the lines of like Satisfactory, is a game in which you build train depots essentially and train tracks and rail stations to most efficiently deliver sets of goods based on certain parameters you have for the level. That's coming out fall 2022. And then Captain Velvet Meteor, the Jump Plus Dimensions on July 28th. This, I think, was like an ARPG sort of thing. I think this was in like the sort of highlight reel showcase. So there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about it. But yeah, if I recall, that also had a sort of a weird and unique art style to it. So yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of stuff. A lot of folks were really pleased with it. You know, just for Persona alone. You know, I think for me, you know, Mario and Rabbids, Harvestella, Monster Hunter, obviously, Return to Monkey Island, Live Alive, Blanc, Dragon Quest Treasures. So yeah, there's a lot going on. And it's like spaced out too. So it's nice. It's not like everything's all coming out like next month and then you have to like get a bunch of stuff. And then by the time you finish one of those games, like there's more games that come out so that you've got a bunch of the games that are just sitting there and being like, oh no. How terrible. I will never play these. So yeah. So I mean, yeah, so Monster Hunter, and then the Live Alive demo. Maybe Little Noah. And then in October, Mario and Rabbids. Anything else from that? Then November, Harvestella. December is Dragon Quest Treasures. And then somewhere in there is Return to Monkey Island and Live Alive. You know, and maybe Persona. I've never played a Persona game, so this might be a good opportunity for me. I have watched a lot of Persona gameplay, so who knows? I know the story is weird. It's one of those, it's weird. So I don't know if I'll have a hard time following it or not. I know Persona 4 Golden has the voice acting talents of one Samuel Riegel for Critical Role fans. He plays like a little jokey type character. I think he does. I thought I saw his name in the voice actor credits for it in the English dub. So yeah, that is gonna wrap up our deep dive. So all in all, you know, I was pretty pleased with the partner showcase. You know, I had kind of gotten it mixed up and thought it was gonna be an indie showcase. So when they first opened with like Monster Hunter, I was like, oh, what's this? That, you know, that indie development studio Capcom. But no, it's just a third party showcase. So if you were expecting to see Breath of the Wild 2 or Metroid Prime 4 or any of those other nebulous first party Nintendo games, no, this is not it. That may or may not be coming later at some point, or maybe not. But yeah, this was a good collection of third party stuff. So, a little surprised we didn't see anything more regarding Bayonetta 3, because that I think is supposed to be coming out fairly soon. Or No More Heroes 3. Like, they had big announcements for that a while back, and then yeah, I don't know what happened. If they just hit development snags or just or what. So, now that we've done that, it's on to Questlog. Oh, hey, look, we talked about Monster Hunter. This week, the goal is to play Monster Hunter Sunbreak. I will also attempt to do a credits page layout for the book, for the comic book. Last week, I did, in fact, I played quite a bit of Commander with my brother, and discovered Commander to like when you're building a deck for when you're building a Commander deck, and for those who don't know, so Commander is a format in Magic the Gathering. It is considered a casual format, where you build a 100 card deck. One of those cards is your commander. Aside from basic lands, you can only have one copy of each card in the deck. And you can only use cards that have the same color identity as your commander. So in Magic, you have the five colors. Representing the different kinds of mana. You also have colorless, which could be a thing. If you have a colorless commander, that means you can only use colorless cards, which that gets weird. Yeah, so it's a casual format. But it's one of those things where when you're building a deck, you don't really know how it's gonna turn out until you play test it. And sort of like the sort of D&D meme of no plan survives contact with the party. Yeah, no No deck idea survives contact with playtesting. And I discovered that I've been trying to work on this like D&D dungeon deck using like a lot of the cards from the two D&D expansions that they've put out. And that utterly destroyed by, of course, like the one deck that my brother enjoys playing. Just utterly destroyed. And so that kind of led to a lot of reworking stuff. I'm also mad. I bought a card like 2 weeks ago to put in this deck that it's really good. And it meshed really well with the deck. And then while I was on vacation, discovered that there was an update to the ban list for Commander and banned that card. So I basically, and it wasn't much. It was like, a couple dollars, but it was the fact that I spent that money to buy a card that now I can't use in the format. And you might say, like, oh, but Sean, it's a casual format. Yeah, it's casual. So like if your group, if you know, your play group decides like, oh no, that card's fine, you can have it in there. Like, that's up to you. But it's generally considered good form to follow ban lists. Because there's generally a reason why stuff is put on there. So I did that. Ultimately goal this week is to get some Monster Hunter time in. Now that I did get to Hunter rank 100 while on vacation, to get me all prepped and ready to go. And who knows, I might even also play a little bit of Shredder's Revenge. Was gonna play that on vacation, didn't get the time. Because that's also out, and I'm looking real forward to playing just an old school TMNT game. Not setting it as a goal, because I don't know. I already feel like with these two goals and everything going on this week, I might not get to both of them, but we'll see. And for those who are watching live, what's pictured here is sort of the flagship monster for Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, is basically Dracula Dragon. It's just like a big old sort of vampiric dragon that also sends out like little weird bat creature things that basically cluster around an enemy and like Metroids, like suck the life force out of it and then return to the dragon to then feed it the life force that they consumed. And then it gains different abilities based on that. And it teleports. So there you go. So I'm excited for that. And then, the credits page. It's a little weird doing a credits page when, I'm sort of self-publishing, self-illustrating a comic book, but trying to come up with other things that that I might want to put out. Maybe just like special thanks or maybe patrons or something. Not sure. So we'll figure that out. It gets a little weird with patrons because like sometimes, people's patronage can change from when like those comics were initially done versus like when they're being put in the book now. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it is a necessary page that I need to do. And also include like the copyright notices and things like that in there. That is going to wrap things up for this week's podcast. Thank you all for joining me for this sort of news light week. But at least gave me a little bit more time to go through the Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase. That is right up there with Square Enix on their naming conventions. Hope to see you next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you want to see more content by me, check out my website at 8-bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support that content, which includes the comic, the 8-Bit Adventures comic, this podcast, the streams. There's other podcasts that we're either looking to bring back or that are on hiatus for a while until we get stuff straightened out. But all those projects, Best way to do that is become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Patrons get early access to comics. They get exclusive access to patron only comics. There's patron exclusive Discord channels in our Discord, which the link, will be in the show notes, in the podcast description, as well as a link here for people that are watching live or watching the VOD. And then finally, or not finally, I want to thank all of my current patrons. Thank you very much for your continued support and patronage. Every little bit helps. So thank you, as always. And now finally, our opening theme from episode one all the way for 268 episodes. Our opening theme has been One Up by Professor Shy Guy. Go check out his work at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. Show him some support. And with that, we are finished. So, dear viewers, dear listeners, as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.